5th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 8, and we're going to go down through verse 17. Verses 8 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now notice there's a parenthesis around verse 9. That means he stopped his thought, went to another thought, now he's coming back. So he's talking about walking as children of light, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Then it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And let's pray. Lord, we look to this passage. We know there are some precious truths in this passage for us, and some precious truths about your Holy Spirit that we need to understand, and we need to practice, and we need to be sensitive to. Help us tonight as we talk about the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful ministry he has in us and with us. And Lord, we praise you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you didn't leave us comfortless. And now, Lord, help us to see these truths that we need. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. The separating ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, most people don't like to get lost. Now, I never get lost. Sometimes I get a little disoriented about where I am, but I never get lost. And like most men, I rarely stop and ask directions. It's a guy thing. Of course, we've overcome a lot of that with the new phones. We don't have to stop and ask anybody. You just push the button on the phone, tells us, you know. We don't like to get lost. But there are... That's exactly where many Christians spend their lives. Not lost as far as salvation, but lost as far as discernment. Lost without direction as to God's will and how to live out God's will. One of the most practical ministries of the Holy Spirit of God is to provide guidance for our journey, to give us discernment in the decisions that we have to make. Do you need guidance in your life? You can have it. Listen, I'm so very thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that he gives me guidance. You know, Yogi Berra said, when you come to that fork in the road, take it. How often do we come to those places of decision? But I'm so very thankful. I don't have to depend on me. See, I spend enough time depending on me to know that me makes a lot of mistakes. The Holy Spirit never makes a mistake. You want guidance? You can have it. But the way you're going to get the guidance God wants you to have is through the transcendent companionship of the Holy Spirit. When you walk with Him, when you listen to Him, when you seek His guidance, you can know you are walking in the will of the Lord. Look at that last verse. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. GPSs are wonderful things. I mean, you know, I didn't come up in the technological age. Many of us didn't. So all this stuff really. The kids, they grow up with it. You know, it's no big deal. But you know, some of you may have had this experience. Have you ever plugged in your GPS and you're following your GPS and all of a sudden there's no more GPS? That happened to us. We were going up to the O'Briens for the viewing of their son, and then we were going to go on to Pittsburgh because I had an appointment with the doctor over there. So we didn't know where we were going up there in Huntington County, so we plugged it into the GPS, and it took us right up there. And we went through the one town we were supposed to go through, and everything seemed fine. And we started going up through mountains and passes and out in the wilderness. And I'm thinking, I don't remember that church being out here. And all of a sudden, we get to this one kind of level spot, and there's a house on this side and a house on this side and nothing else around anywhere. And the GPS says, you've arrived at your destination. I said, obviously it's wrong. So there's a guy in his yard over here. I put the window down. I said, hey, do you know where this church is? Blah, blah, blah. No, I don't know where that is. Okay, so I put the window up and we go down the road just a couple hundred feet. I said, check the GPS again and no service. So I think whether I backed up, but I asked the guy about GPS. Oh, you can't get service up here. Now what do I do? He said, you got to go down around the corner and up a couple miles, then maybe you can get service. You know, it's pretty frustrating. You're following directions. You're thinking you're going to get somewhere where you need to go, and all of a sudden you've lost directions. But you know, it's even more frustrating to come to a place in our life when it seems like there's no guidance for our decisions. We just don't know which way to go. And this is when we discover that there is one who will guide us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we'll never be without the guidance we need. I'm not talking about directions to get somewhere. I'm talking about directions for our life. The Holy Spirit takes His Word and teaches and prompts us in His will for our lives. Listen, one of the greatest needs in every Christian's life is spiritual discernment. We need that ability to know God's will and to be able to, watch, identify and separate from all the choices that we have. You know, you listen to me? Sometimes we need discernment to choose between what's good and what's best. Did you get that? Sometimes there are decisions we can make. Well, this is a good decision, but this is the best decision. And we need that discernment. Holy Spirit, show me which one should I be taking? Which road? We need to be able to identify, and we need to be able to separate from all the choices that we have to make. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians there. He prayed that they would have spiritual understanding so they could know and live out the will of God for their lives. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We need discernment. And we need it in so many areas. We need discernment, fellas. We need discernment to lead our families. Christians, we need discernment to make wise purchases, and purchases are according to God's will. We need discernment in choosing our friends. We need discernment in our occupations. We need discernment in every part of our life. We're going to talk tonight about how the Holy Spirit guides us in decision making. We're going to look at three ways He gives us wisdom to discern God's plan, the Holy Spirit's plan. Big point number one, the direction of the Lord. One way He gives us the wisdom to discern God's plan is He gives us the direction of the Lord. Before we got saved, before we came to Christ, life was spiritually dark for us. The Bible, in many places, contrasts the lives before salvation and after salvation. And Ephesians here is one of those areas. Did you notice how many times the word light appears in those few verses? And it's contrasted with darkness. Light. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, look at verses 18 and 19. Just back a page. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He's talking about unsaved people. Look at that, blindness. Alienated from the life of God. Ignorance that is in them. Blind in their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Listen, when we got saved, we got out of darkness, we got into light. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. That's why we say when we got saved, the light switch was turned on. Why do we say that? Because we came out of the darkness of this world to the light of the God and spiritual things. But see, now that we know Christ, God's desire for us is that we would walk as children of light. And that's what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. He provides direction so that we can do that. He wants to spread that light that He brought to our souls when He saved us so that it can guide us. I want you to notice some ways He does that. Number one, the light of the light of His presence, His very presence in our lives provides discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. But the natural man, that's the old man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You see, the unsaved man, and before we were saved, we could not discern spiritual matters. The unsaved man does not know how to apply God's word to their lives. And the fact is this, when we were unsaved, we were not even interested in applying God's plan to our lives. That's the natural man. That's the man who goes through life living according to his senses, his emotions, his intellect. He don't care what God says. It's all about what do I think, what do I feel, what do I want to do. But you see, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, now we have the ability to discern spiritual truths accurately. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He guides us. It's His ministry. The light of His presence and the light of His word. The primary tool, the primary tool the Holy Spirit is going to use to guide us in our lives is His word. That's why I emphasize. I hoot and holler. I jump and shout. I do everything I can to try to get you to read the Bible. I don't do that so you can just brag to people I read the Bible. And I don't do that so that you can elevate yourself and say, boy, I'm a good Christian. I read the Bible. The reason I want you to read the Bible is because it is the very thing that God uses to guide our lives. This is a roadmap of life for us who are believers. This is our GPS. This is the one that tells us where to turn and what to do. Oh, you're relating to that, aren't you? You know, you're driving down the road and that girl that's in that thing starts talking to you and says, turn left in 200 yards. And I don't turn. And she says, making a U-turn at your earliest convenience and all this kind of stuff. But see, that thing's telling me how to get where I want to go. Because it knows. Well, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and tells me what I need to know and where I need to go and how I need to do it. Why? Because He already knows what I don't know. It's through the Word of God. Through the Bible, we see life as God designed it. And we understand God's principles for our daily living. Listen, it's never God's desire for His people to stumble around and wander around in darkness. He gives us light. So if we're stumbling around, it's not God's fault. We're not taking advantage of the light that He's given us. Jesus came as the light of the world, and He promised we'd follow Him, we'd have all the light we need for our lives. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Even as a Christian, have you ever felt like you were just stumbling around? Be honest, yeah. But you see, the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to reveal the light of God's truth. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to learn to turn to that light God has given us and take advantage of that light God has given us through the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible is not a crystal ball that lets you see your future years in advance, so to speak. But it will give you guidance for every step of the journey that we make. But see, if we're going to get the guidance we need, we've got to read it, we've got to study it, we've got to learn it. And then, when we learn what it says, we have to apply it. I've seen times I put things in the GPS, and I'd be going down the road, and I'd say, I don't like the way they're taking me. You ever done that? Hold your hand up if you ever did that. I'm going to go my way. My way don't work. I should have listened and applied what I heard. See, a lot of times Christians, they get in the Bible, they read the Bible, they hear what God has to say, but they disregard it. Man, if that's the way you're living, you're stumbling around in the dark. Now, while the Holy Spirit gives us light, we have an enemy who's out to blind the eyes of our eyes to the power of the truth. The Holy Spirit wants to give us light. Satan wants to blind us. That's a big contrast. He binds people in darkness while Christ liberates people with the truth. He blinds minds in unbelief, while the Lord sets His people free in faith. Listen, it's God's desire to lead you. He didn't just save you and throw you down here and say, all right, make it on your own. He said, no, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He will guide you if you listen to Him. I wonder how you're doing it listening to Him. Are you willing to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Are you actively seeking truth through the light of His Word? Are you looking for Him to light your path? Or are you trying to make it on your own? I heard about a teacher who was a substitute teacher in a Sunday school class. She had third grade boys. Little Johnny was in the back row. And he was kind of a handful. Finally, she looked at him. She said, "Johnny, you have trouble hearing? You have trouble listening, Johnny?" He said, "No, ma'am. I just have trouble obeying." It's the way we are. So we see the direction of the Lord. Then we see the protection of the Lord. As we commit ourselves to this thing, hey, I'm going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He will then protect us from the harm that we too easily bring upon ourselves. Amen. He's going to keep us from those places where we go in foolishness, ignorance. Think about this. Have you ever made a decision as a believer now? You made a decision and you either didn't consult God or you did and you went against what the Holy Spirit was telling you. And you ended up in a mess. We refuse to follow His direction. Now, it's either out of foolishness we get into trouble, we just don't listen to Him, or sometimes it's ignorance, we just didn't ask. But it always ends up in the same place. Trouble for a believer. Well, how does the Holy Spirit protect me from that? Well, number one, by His prompting. He actively works in the heart of someone when we've been willing to listen to Him. He not only teaches us how to apply His truth, but He prompts our minds and pricks our spirits at that moment of decision. Have you had Him speak to you? Listen, maybe you've been sincere and said, "Now, Lord, I've got to make a decision, and I want Your help. I need Your direction." And the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and prompt you. This is the way you should go. And you'll be reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, something that you never saw before comes off that page, and the Holy Spirit says, "See, here it is right here. Here's what you need to do. Here's the direction you need to take." He prompts us in three areas. 5:9 in Ephesians. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Every time we look to the Holy Spirit for the guidance, He's going to direct our choices to that which is good. You listening? To that which is good, that which is righteous, and that which is true. If we need to make a decision and we see something that, "Well, I think I'll go in this direction," and it's not righteous, it's not true, it's not good, we know that's not the Holy Spirit. He will only lead us into things that are good and righteous and true. That's His fruit. That's the evidence of His discernment in our choices. When you're evaluating some areas of personal choice, maybe you're trying to guide your children through some of these areas of personal choice. What should I do? What should I shouldn't do? What about this? What about that? We need to remember our flesh is going to want to satisfy our carnal nature. Listen, it's a natural thing for our flesh to want us to go the direction of the carnal man. But we have to make a decision. I don't want to go that direction. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me in discernment. I want His prompting. person who's that kind of Christian is going to want his life to represent the fruit of the Spirit. That which is good, that which is righteous, that which is true. His prompting. And then his proving. He not only prompts our minds towards making the decisions that are good, righteous, and true, but he also teaches us to discern what actually is good and acceptable to God. See, sometimes our definition of good may not be the same as God's definition of good. The Holy Spirit teaches us to prove, you listening? Prove what is good. Hey, I don't know if this is really good or not. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you to prove. Prove, as Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That word prove there means to show evidence for something. It means to examine or scrutinize. And the verse suggests we need God's Spirit to discern what is genuinely acceptable to God and what isn't. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do that. And I say, well, you know, you think the Lord wants you to do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have peace in my heart. Really? Well, you know, where you want to go and what you want to do is against the Word of God. So how can you have peace in your heart? You created it. Holy Spirit didn't give you that. He will only lead you to do what is good and righteous and true, not anything that would be against God's Word. We need to prove, examine, what is good in God's eyes. It's that kind of proving in which God gives us the ability to exercise discernment. Proving what is true. What is acceptable in God's sight. You know, this is where we're supposed to live. It shouldn't be a matter of what does the church say or what does the preacher say or what do my peers say. It should be a matter of what does God say. Listen, I can find professed Christians who do just about anything the world does. Did you hear what I said? And they say, well, I think it's okay. I believe it's all right. You know, I'm under grace or whatever they want to say. But does that make it good? Does that make it acceptable? No. It's acceptable to them because they've made their mind accept it. But it's not acceptable to God. And that's the one we need to be concerned about. The choice is ours. We need to seek discernment. We need to seek God's will. We need His guidance. And you know, the Holy Spirit will prompt us to seek God's standard rather than our own. That's what He's all about. It really don't matter what I think is right, what I think is good, what I think is the standard. It matters what does God say. And what does the Holy Spirit tell us? And then we have the instruction of the Lord. So far we've been focusing on the process that the Holy Spirit uses to give us discernment. His presence. His prompting. So that we'll see the light of His Word and the fruit of His will. But now we're going to look at three specific commands from God in Ephesians 5 that's going to help us to daily walk with discernment. If we will obey these three commands, it will enable us to clearly discern the Holy Spirit's individual leading in our lives. Look what we're told. Number one. Take a separated stand. A separated stand. Paul went to Ephesus on his second missionary journey. When he got to Ephesus, he came to a hustle-bustle city that boasted its magnificent temple to Diana, also known as the Temple of Artemis. This temple in Ephesus was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Now, this worship of Diana, what's the big deal? They worship Diana. Well, sometime do a study on what the worship of Diana was all about. I'll just say it this way. Worship in that temple was grossly immoral and of the occult. That's what they were all about in Ephesus. Now, Paul went there, and he's preaching Jesus Christ, and he had many of the people that he preached to come to Christ. And their lives were transformed by the power of the gospel. And these people that we read about in Acts 19 took a very bold step. We're told that they completely destroyed the tangible artifacts of their pagan worship. Acts 19, verses 19 and 20. Here's what it records about what happened then. Many of them also which used curious arts, that's occult things, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What's the point? These people got saved and they separated themselves. They destroyed the things that they were worshiping in the past, the things that held them to their past. Paul encouraged that. Why? Because he knew it would be impossible for these young Christians to straddle the fence. You've got to come to that place of decision. They would never grow in the Lord if they kept that connection to the sinful practices that they were involved in. And so he challenged them, hey, separate from all the impurity and ungodly things that were in your life. And then years later, he writes this epistle to the Ephesians. And he tells them once again, you need to separate yourself from all ungodliness. Only this time he's not talking about artifacts of ungodly worship, but to the practices themselves. What do you mean? Well, look at what we read. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth not make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paul's saying to these people, hey, you need to draw a line in the sand. You're on the side of light. Don't even fellowship and fraternize with the unfruitful works of darkness. Live in the light. Don't go over there. Live in the light. Listen, I don't know of anybody here that's been saved out of the occult. Maybe you have. I don't know. But even so, the principle holds true. To walk with spiritual discernment, you need to separate yourself, just like God tells us. See, right now we have a Christianity in America that thinks we can hold on to the world and hold on to God. We can straddle the fence. We can be Christian, but you know, not fanatical. Huh? Sometimes we feel that we can hold on to the world and walk with God. To do so is in direct disobedience to God's command. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He's forbidding us from walking in fellowship with those who are walking in sin. Now, that don't mean we never talk to people or have anything to do with people that aren't saved. No. But this fellowship thing, that's close association, that's yoking up with them. By the way, in 2 Corinthians, he told us not to yoke up with them. Why? It'll drag us down. No, we're supposed to reprove them. We're supposed to confront sin. We're supposed to share the gospel with them, encourage them to turn to the Lord. And there's a wide gap between sharing the gospel with someone and being in fellowship with them or agreement with them with their sinful lifestyle. Listen, oftentimes we come upon people who are living together without being married. That's a common thing nowadays. Now, I want to try to win them to Christ. I want to have an association with them where I can tell them about the Lord and do my best to try to win them to Christ. But in doing that, I will not condone what they're doing. I will maintain a position, hey, you're wrong, you're living in immorality. You need to get that right. I won't back up on that. Amen. Well, you know, preacher, if we take a hard-nosed stand, we're never going to win anybody. That's not for us to discern. Ours is to stand firm for what's right in love. There's a balance. Why would we who love God want to preserve ties with those who hate God? I don't know about you, but since I've been saved, I'm not real comfortable fellowshipping with unsaved people. I do it if I need to, and you know, but I don't look forward to it. They don't think like I do. They don't feel like I do. They don't believe what I do. There's no kindred spirit. 5:11 says these are unfruitful works. In other words, they won't bring you to good, righteous, and true things. To walk in discernment, we've got to obey God's command to separate ourselves to godliness. And then 2, we need to have a serious walk. Our walk with the Lord and our clarity of discerning and doing God's will is not something to be taken lightly. It's something we really need to pursue. Paul says to walk circumspectly. That's carefully. I like to liken it to being, understand you're in a minefield. How careful would you be about where you walk if you knew you were in a real literal minefield? You'd weigh every step. Well, we're in a minefield. We need to be careful. Peter says, we need to be careful. There's a lion out there. Satan is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We got an enemy out there looking to destroy us. We better be careful how we're walking and where we're walking and when we're walking. He's just waiting for us to get off the path. It warns us not to just coast through life. Walk circumspectly. Hey, be on guard. Be aware. This is a spiritual battle, not a playground. Too often we don't even pause to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment and how we use our time and how we spend our lives. And yet Paul says, redeeming the time. George W. Truett, preacher from yesteryear, said this. To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. Listen, back to this, the Holy Spirit gives us discernment on God's will and how we're going to spend our lives. By the way, who's controlling how you're going to spend your life? I am. That shouldn't be as a Christian. Redeem the time. Listen, you're a believer now and you only have a certain amount of time to do the work God's called you to do. You're going to answer for it one day. You're accountable. Remember that parable Jesus told about when the owner left? He said, occupy till I come. Well, that's where we are. And we're going to give an account when he comes back. And then 3, you need to have a separated stand. Listen, you need to examine your life and say, are there things in my life that are not good before God? Are there things in my life that God is not pleased with? I need to separate from them. Whether it's where you go, or how you talk, or what you read, or what you listen to, or what you wear, or who you fellowship with, is God displeased with this in my life? I need to separate from it. And then have a serious walk. Take it seriously. I'm going to walk with the Lord. It don't happen by accident. It's got to be a daily decision. I'm going to walk with God today. Galatians says, if I don't do that, if I don't decide and work at walking with God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, I will walk in the flesh. It's one or the other. Number three, live a Spirit-filled life. God's third instruction in this passage, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Got to walk in the Spirit. His desire for us is not simply that we would know all the right answers, but that we would know Him and follow Him. For right now, we'll talk more about walking in the Spirit. It's about developing that relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit. That we would be more in tune, more in touch, more yielded to Him. You know, people oftentimes think that, you know, having this discernment for life's decisions is sort of, you know, one of those mystical, supernatural kind of intuition things. And only gifted people can really have that. No? Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, has the same Holy Spirit, who wants to have the same ministry in each of our lives. Sometimes we see people and they say, boy, they got an inroad with God. You ever thought that about somebody? They always seem to make the right decision. They always seem to go down the right road. They always seem to have the right answer. Listen, they don't have anything you don't have. They just use what they do have. They seek the discernment, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we all need to do that and can do that. We have His promptings. We have His protection. We have His presence. We have His instruction. It's all through His Word. And He wants us to follow Him. That's why Jesus sent Him. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away, but if I go away, I'll not leave you comfortless. But I will send you another Comforter, and He will guide you. It's exactly what He wants to do. Aren't you glad we have a loving God who not only saved us and said, okay, you're saved now, but He said, okay, you're my child now, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you. He's going to guide you if you listen to Him. He can keep you out of a lot of trouble. He can help you from foolish mistakes. He can give you discernment on what's best. He can teach you how to live for me if you just listen to Him. Paraclete. One called alongside to help. Let's bow our heads. Your heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you this question. Have you lived with a discernment of the Holy Spirit? Do you seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life on a daily basis? Not just when there's big decisions to make, but every day. Holy Spirit, guide me, fill me, direct my path. I wonder how I'm going to say, yep, preacher, I believe I live according to the direction, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I do my best to seek Him, to listen to Him, to follow His discernment. I believe so. Here's my hand. Hold it up. Hold it up. Put it down. How many would say, preacher, I haven't been living that way? I've been making a lot of decisions for myself. And you know, preacher, I'm going to be honest tonight. Sometimes I make decisions for myself that I know are not the way the Holy Spirit wants me to go. I'm admitting it tonight. And I'm asking God to help me to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit like I need to. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are okay. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, might we be so